It's Natasha with you on BFBS, the Forces Station. And this year, RAF Filing Dells in Yorkshire celebrates its 30th birthday. With me now is Richie Weeks, their Media Communications Officer. So for those who haven't heard or come across this key base for British Defence, can you tell us about it?
Royal Air Force Filing Dells. It's very difficult to pronounce sometimes. We often get confused with Flying Dells and Filing Gales and all kinds of weird and wonderful things. But we are Filing Dells up on the North Yorkshire Moors, very isolated area. And it's 30 years of our radar. So our radar operations here, and our radar is a giant 33-metre tall building that looks up into space, and it looks like a cheese grater. The locals refer to it as a sandcastle, which is quite fitting because we're very close to the coast near Whitby, but it's fairly iconic, and it replaced the golf balls which were there from the early 60s. So this particular radar has been operational since 1992, continuously operational, looking into space, looking for various different things all the way into space. So it's quite a big event for us. In terms of the radar itself, you know, it's a very technical bit of equipment. There's no moving parts, driven by computer processing power. Yeah, so it's quite an impressive bit of kit.
It's definitely, as you say, an interesting looking building. It's been there for a while now and built during the Cold War, the whole base. So what's it like to work there?
Well, it's quite an interesting place. So today is bright sunshine, no wind, and it's lovely. But on the day of our anniversary, unfortunately, it was howling a gale, 45 mile an hour winds, raining so hard. It was pretty awful. And that's the kind of weather that we get up here on the moors. So one day, very, very nice and calm. Another day, you know, you don't want to go outside. We have measures in place in case it snows so heavy that the roads get closed. So we have to stay on site to make sure the operations continue. So in terms of the weather, it's very, very different and very mixed on a day-to-day basis. The actual working on site is quite unusual because there's only 80 military people on site, 80 blue suiters, if you like. And the majority of those are operators, so they operate the radar. They work inside the radar in the operations room. So there's no windows. You're there for 12-hour shifts at a time, so you're not allowed to leave the building because it's, you know, continuous monitoring of our screens and what's happening. So it can be quite a daunting place to work because you don't see any daylight. You can go in when it's dark and you come back out when it's dark. And that's a continuous cycle for our young people when they're in and out. And also they've got a very responsible job, very young people working in there with an awful lot of responsibility.
As you say, it's 24-hour-a-day surveillance, and your motto is, we are watching. Now, within the current climate of the Ukraine and Russia, has there been more to watch?
Yeah, so our motto of Vigilamus is very fitting because, say, continuous operations is really important. So we provide a global coverage where one sensor of a number of sensors that link into a global network. We look into space, 3,000 miles up into space, and our primary mission is to detect ballistic missiles. So a ballistic missile would go into space, all the way into space, and then come tumbling down a ballistic trajectory. That's our primary mission. Now, with the events in Eastern Europe at the moment, we're probably twice as busy, maybe even more than we have been for the past 12 months. So things have certainly ramped up about what the kind of activity that's happening out there. We're probably as busy now as we've ever been.
You know, as you mentioned, that's your primary task. But you also talk about this space surveillance network, which sounds fantastic. What do you see out there? Because, I mean, we're talking 3,000 miles into space. It must be quite interesting.
It is. So what we can see 3,000 miles up is a spin-off of looking for ballistic missiles. We can actually see things the size of a Coke can. Other drinks are available. So we can see things about that size. We catalogue all the objects that are in space, because it's quite important that we're almost like an air traffic control, but higher up into space. Because what you don't want is satellites colliding with each other, because that's going to create lots of debris and junk and clutter up the whole space and prevent us from doing our day-to-day stuff, not just in the military, but also our civilian side. So you think about GPS, you know, your sat-navs, your vehicles, any banking that you may do, your mobile phone network, internet, it's all run by satellite communications. So we don't want those satellites to collide with each other or bits of junk to hit them, which can obviously destroy them because they're traveling at such great speeds. So we track so many different objects up in space, bits of debris, satellites, things like the International Space Station, which we can see three or four times a day as it orbits the Earth. And that's quite an important one because there's people on board. So it's a manned platform. We certainly don't want things colliding with the space station. What we do is if we see there's a potential collision, then we report that to our American counterparts. As happened in the past, they've actually moved objects in space to avoid any collision. So we play quite an important role in keeping space safe, and that's one of our main functions. And we see, you know, the kind of things that we see up there, say lots and lots of satellites. You'll have probably heard of Elon Musk and his Starlink satellite program, some like 12,000 tiny satellites. So they're called CubeSats. So they're only tiny, tiny little things. But we can track them, and they're whizzing around the globe at the moment to provide global internet access. You know, really important for lots of developing countries and also for our own country as well.
No, definitely. And I have to ask, because I'm pretty sure a few years ago, someone launched a car into space. So have you seen this car floating around?
So Elon Musk launched this car. We did see it from its launch, but now it's headed way out towards Mars. So that was his plan to send this car out to Mars. So we would see it and monitor it for, you know, maybe a couple of orbits as it goes around, and then boom, off it goes over to Mars. But significantly, the Air Force and Virgin, so we have an Air Force pilot who's about to fly Cosmic Girl, which is a big liner from the spaceport in Newquay. So we're currently on standby to see what happens with that. So we're going to launch a British satellite on British soil, which is the first time that's ever happened. So they're just looking at different weather situations, but it should be imminently happening. So do look out for that. It's going to be quite exciting. First British satellite on British soil.
Definitely exciting, as you say. But let's talk about the celebrations that you're having at the moment for this anniversary. What have you been up to?
So because of COVID, you know, we haven't had any real get-togethers for the best part of 3 years now. So the idea is that we would have a family event where all our families come onto site. We'd have lots of entertainment for the kids, you know, roller disco, bouncy castles, that kind of, all the good stuff, and street food, a bit of music as well. But also we want to look back and tip our hat to our veterans who worked here for, you know, 40, 50 years, some of them. So we invited some of our veterans back so they can meet up and chat about their experiences when the golf balls were here, but also their experiences in the cheese grater, because, you know, 30 years is an awful long time. That should be quite a good event. It'd be nice to catch up with the old people and capture their memories as well of what life was like 30 years ago and beyond. That's quite an important part of what we're going to do. And obviously, a lot of our contractor partners, Serco in particular, they have an awful lot of space expertise at Fylingdales. So we hope to catch up with our old colleagues and see how they're getting on and how things have changed at Fylingdales over the years.
I'm sure there'll be some interesting stories to be told at that event. But just tell us then, what's next for the station?
Well, this year is 30 years of our existing radar. And next year, next September, is 60 years of the station being in existence, so operationally. So 1963, September the 17th, was the golf balls. The very first ballistic missile early warning system was kicked into play. So we're going to be celebrating 60 years next year, which is another major landmark for us.
Definitely, and something to be looking forward to, that's for sure. Richie, thank you so much for talking to us about RAF Fylingdales' 30-year history and what the station has been up to more recently. I'm Natasha Renault for BFBS, the Forces Station.